We are going to be looking around, as we often do in Scripture this morning, but primarily in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. If you'd like to turn there in your Bibles, we'll go through the first few verses, but speaking predominantly about verse 5 today. Church, will you join me in prayer, and as we pray together, listen what we're saying about God. Listen to what we're saying about us and how those two things work together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against you. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father God, as we open your word and we hear these teachings, we hear Jesus, his words, teaching us how to be. May we understand, as we just prayed, our full reliance on you for everything, from our daily sustenance to our ability to forgive. May we remember that we serve the one who served us and who now sits in glory. For we one day will join him. Lord, help us to learn and help us to grow in our own minds and our own hearts the idea that all we are to be can only take place if we move out of the way and let you in. So, Father, teach us this morning. Teach us from your word. Teach us by your Holy Spirit. We thank you that we have your written word. We lift up those other churches in our community this morning who are hearing your word. And we pray for those around the world who beg for and don't have access to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are, once again, if you maybe weren't here last week, we are beginning a series that will take some time. I don't know how long, however long it's supposed to, on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And beginning with this section that's commonly known as the Beatitudes, and we are just kind of working our way through them. And we will do that through the end of November. Then we will pause for an Advent study called the Advent Conspiracy, which we'll be joining other churches around the world in doing that. And then we will return wherever we left off here, because that's what we're being led to do. I was greatly impressed reading a biography about John Calvin, and he was called into Geneva to pastor a church and really reformed the church there, and they built the structure of the Protestant church there. And the church and the government were very much intertwined. The city government decided who could take communion in church on Sunday morning, and the government became corrupt, and Calvin stood against it, and they ran him out of town on a rail. He was exiled for some 2 years. Then when there was a change in government, he was brought back. And his first Sunday in the pulpit, they were just waiting for him to nail those guys. He now had his pulpit back. He had the opportunity, and people were gathered, and they were just waiting for him to really hit those guys that had done that to him. And Calvin simply turned in his Bible to the next verse after the one he'd been preaching on 2 years ago and continued in Scripture. Amen. So last week, we read these words. Now he being Jesus, saw the crowds. He went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." And last week we talked about those first four verses, that when Jesus went and sat down, that was a position of authority that a teacher would take, and people who wanted to learn, who wanted to be his students, would gather around him to learn. And that's what they did. They gathered around Jesus to hear what he had to say. And we talked last week also about the poor in spirit. That had to do with the poverty of one's spirit without Christ. That without God in our lives, that we are dead in our sin. We are worthless without Christ. But of course, theirs is the kingdom of heaven, so we are everything with him. And that those who mourn and will be comforted are those who mourn over their state, over the state of the world, over their own personal state, that without Christ they are completely and utterly lost. And I struggled somewhat with the definition of the word meek. What does the word meek mean? And if you look what different people have to say what the word meek means, sometimes it is related to weakness, sometimes to gentleness. The original word, praeus, in the Greek, had a couple of different meanings in the way it was used, and it was as gentleness. It's in Galatians, when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, one of them being gentleness, it's the same word in the Greek. When Jesus said, take on my yoke, my burden is light, I am lowly in heart and gentle, it's the same word. But then we look and we say, well, Jesus wasn't always gentle. He wasn't always what we would think of as being meek, as like meek and mild. So in reading, you come across some other definitions, and some people say it's power under control. And that's another meaning of the word in Greek, that an animal that had been broken, a horse that had been broken, they would use that word. He now would still had that strength, but he was under the control of his master. I believe there is some truth in that, but then that would say that those who are weak could not be meek, because if it just means power under control. And as I prayed over this and read it over and over and over again, it became clear. These are teachings to teach us to be like Jesus. These are teachings to teach us to be like Jesus. Moses was considered meek, but Moses led the Israelites on the Exodus. He spoke face to face with God. The term meek was not used for John the Baptist, but Jesus said, of those born of women, none have been greater than John the Baptist. And John the Baptist came in out of the wilderness like a wild man, right? Dressed in crazy clothes, eating crazy things, and grabbing, figuratively, but grabbing the leadership by the collar, calling them a brood of vipers, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And that's not meek and mild. So what's it mean to be meek? To look like Jesus? Well, when we look at the first two, being poor in spirit, that is looking at my spirit in relationship to God. When we look at the mourning, it's mourning over the state of my spirit in relationship to God. So I think that this meek, this word meek, also is a spiritual term, and it does not have anything to do at the outset with my relationship with another person. My relationship, my responses, the way I approach people, will be affected as a result of my meekness. But meekness is a meekness before God. It is before God. It is a submission to God. What is said, what Paul said about Jesus in Philippians 2. I hope I'm right. Philippians 2. Beginning with verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth, under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Your attitude should be like that. My attitude should be like that. See, Jesus was equal with God. Jesus is God. When it says he considered equality with God something not to be grasped, the better definition of that term is something not to be held on to. In other words, he released that right when he came to earth. He didn't release who he was, but he released that to become a person, to become that baby who would be crucified. Jesus was meek in that kind of dictionary term, I guess, when he stood before Herod and stood before Pilate. But what did he say? When they said, "Don't you know who I am and what my authority is?" Jesus said, "The only authority you have is what has been given you." Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Jesus turned to the woman who was bleeding and said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." He was often gentle. He allowed himself to be led like a lamb, an innocent lamb, to slaughter. But he also turned over the tables in the temple. He rebuked a storm. He took control over the elements and walked on water. Jesus submitted himself to the will of God and responded to anyone and any situation and any circumstance as God would have him do it. And friends, I think that is what the definition of meek is. Excuse me. When we're called to be meek, we're called to be like Jesus. That means sometimes we're calm and we're gentle and we take the hit on one cheek and turn the other. And we help the child up. And we let those who are persecuting us, we let them persecute us. And sometimes we turn over the tables in the temple. Sometimes we stand up and say, "No more, not now, not here." But the key to this is we don't make the decision. We are responding in any and every circumstance to the work of the Holy Spirit. So we may be weak in ourselves, but where we're weak, God is what? Where we're weak, God is strong. Or we may be strong in ourselves in a situation that we need to let go. Being meek is being completely and utterly submitted to God. You see, we've come to him, looking at the first two of these Beatitudes, we've come to God with the realization that we are nothing. We are spiritually bankrupt. We have nothing of our own that is anyway worthwhile. And we're devastated by that. But when that happens, He comforts us. And how does He comfort us? He gives us His Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And that Holy Spirit brings us strength beyond anything we could ever have. A wisdom beyond anything we could ever have. Knowledge, capability, foresight, insight. We can't do better on our own than we can do with God. We can't do better on our own than we can do with the Holy Spirit guiding us. So to be meek is not to cower away. Not to say, go ahead, it's all right, whatever. Is submit ourselves to God. If He's calling us to say something, say it. If He's calling us to be quiet, we be quiet. If He's calling us to go, we go. If He's calling us to stay, we stay. Jesus did what He did because it was what God directed. There was a time they tried to kill Jesus earlier on in His ministry. They tried to drag Him and throw Him off the edge of a cliff. And He simply walked through the crowd. Wouldn't you like to have seen that? And on the day they crucified, what did He have at His availability that He chose not to use? Remember the old song? He could have called what? 10,000 angels. He had the right. He had the authority. He had the capability to stop it. But what was the will of God? That He would go to the cross. So in that moment, He looked more like the dictionary definition of meek. But on Sunday morning, that wasn't meek and mild that blew that stone out of in front of the tomb. That was the Almighty God. And that's Jesus, the Lion and the Lamb. Not one or the other, not sometimes this and sometimes that, but both. Jesus is the Lion and the Lamb. Revelation 5, right in the same couple of verses together. Who could open? John says, I wept because no one was there who could open the seals. And then I saw one looking as a lamb that had been slain. And it was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he was worthy. Church, this whole section of Jesus' teaching is to teach us to be like Him. So sometimes, yes, sometimes it's to turn the other cheek and to walk away. And sometimes it's to stand up and say no more. It's sometimes to let the persecution take place, and it's sometimes to turn over the tables in the temple. But whatever your response is in any given situation, whatever my response is, whatever our church's response is, whatever we go and do in the community, whatever we choose to do here, under the direction of God's Holy Spirit. So throw away anything else that you hear about the word meek. If it makes it seem cowardly or soft, it's not. It is one who comes under the direction of God's Holy Spirit and accomplishes what God would have be accomplished. Jesus is teaching us. He's teaching you, and He's teaching me, and we can be like Jesus. We can chip away everything in us that doesn't look like Jesus to leave behind that which does look like Jesus. We want to look like Jesus. We want the world to look at us and see Jesus. God has given us what it takes. We just have to give Him all the junk. Amen.